Welcome back to the History of Rock Remix Edition. His name is Shim. He is the rock star throwing up the horn.
His name is Brandon. He is the DJ. Class is in session.
Interestingly enough, I just did a short that will be going up on my social media channels about where the devil horns began or who kind of made it popular and stuff like that. So that video, hold on. I should know when that actually comes out. It'll be coming out the same day as this remix episode, actually. It dropped this morning. So if you want to go check out my socials at The Real Brandalorian or go to Brandalorian over on TikTok.
Brandalorian over on TikTok. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut that off. I don't think I've ever been more proud of my son than I was this week when he finally figured out how to do them on his own. And he does them for everything. Like, I'm like, hey, man, do you want peanut butter jelly sandwich? He's like, peanut butter jelly!
Nice.
And he's just like all about it. So like, yeah, I had to show him a bunch of times. Like he was like, and you got to manually pull the finger and know this one. No. And then eventually they get it and then they can't stop doing it.
Yeah. That's got to be a proud father moment. Like a super
It is
proud
a very
father
proud
moment.
Father moment.
All right. So coming up in this episode, we're going to get to a poll that I put up on YouTube. If you go to The Real Brandalorian on YouTube, I'm now posting up a lot of polls. And one of them that I did really kind of took off a little bit because it was, which rock star would you bring back to life if you could? Was it Dimebag Darrell, Kurt Cobain, or Jimi Hendrix? And man, I don't think...
Polarizing.
People didn't necessarily get heated over it. There was just a lot of different angles people were coming from that I wasn't anticipating. So we're going to get into that. We're also going to get into five fast questions as well. But the beginning of this episode, we're talking X-Men, the animated series. But before we get to that, I do have to do a quick reminder since we're speaking of the social media channels. All History of Rock content now are on my channels. Shim and I are not double dipping anymore. I was told by some people who are very smart when it comes to this stuff. They said that we're essentially kind of hurting ourselves by putting it up on both channels. So if you've come here because you've noticed Shim isn't uploading them anymore, it's not because he's lazy. It's because we've made the decision that all of the History of Rock content and everything is going to be going through my channels. And then, of course, you can go to Shim's channels. You can get amazing things like his cover of Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff, which was awesome. I love
it. There is going to be...
I've already got ideas for a video in my head, too, that I'm going to incorporate into.
I'm gonna be doubling down or tripling down on the TikTok and stuff. And if anyone has any suggestions for anything that might be fun for me to do, go ahead and let me know. But that being said, let's get into this.
So we're talking about X-Men, the animated series, and it ran from 1992 to 1997. And Disney Plus, you can find it there now. There's also a new series that's going to be coming out in the fall of 2023 that's going to pick up where this series left off. Now, the original X-Men, the animated series, debuted on Halloween, October 31st, 1992. And that Halloween had to have been one of the greatest Halloweens in my life because 12-year-old Brandon got X-Men, the animated series, on that day. Plus, that was back when the Treehouse of Horrors on The Simpsons was good.
Oh, my God. I just remembered that. I totally forgot. Those were the best episodes, man.
Yeah, and now they're just... I can't...
I don't even... No one fucking watches The Simpsons anymore. Who watch... Anyway. Yeah. So, there was a pilot that was made for a different X-Men series a few years before. X-Men Pride of the X-Men was originally broadcast in 1989 during the Marvel Action Universe block of programming, which included Dino Riders and RoboCop, along with the reruns of the 1981 Spider-Man cartoon and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Spidey and His Amazing Friends! I can't get that song off my TV.
So were any of these things big down in Australia, whether that's the RoboCop cartoon. Dino Riders was awesome.
We had X-Men. I don't think any of these other ones made it down there. No. But I remember seeing X-Men, but I never got into X-Men. That was, I got into Captain Planet. I know that's so lame compared to X-Men because X-Men is like OG and has all the really badass characters that actually do things. And all Captain Planet's kids did was just complain about things and then put rings together.
I couldn't
and all
watch
fucking
Captain
work.
Planet. I couldn't.
Yeah. Ugh. No. But that one made it down there. But I don't. Was RoboCop violent as a cartoon?
No. I mean, it was kind of it was a kid's thing. Although we're going to get into that here with X-Men because X-Men has always been a bit darker, a bit more, I don't want to say realistic because one of the main characters can bend metal, you know, stuff like that. But it's rooted in real life situations that people deal with, and we're actually going to get to that here in a short while for X-Men the Animated Series. But the Pride of the X-Men, this was a pilot. It was a pun on the name of Kitty Pryde. She's the youngest of the X-Men. So the Pride is spelled P-R-Y-D-E, and it was influenced by issues number 129 through 139 of Uncanny X-Men. It was also made with RoboCop's budget. The producers decided, we don't want to do a 13th episode of RoboCop. We're going to make this thing over here. So Marvel Productions decided they were going to go make this one cartoon. And it was a pilot that was a few years before the X-Men series that we now know and love.
I wonder if the people at RoboCop even knew. I wonder if they actually, or if they just would have been like, yeah, we're just not giving you the money.
It might have been the same people. It might have been the same animating staff. It might have been all the same people where they would have just said, hey, rather than drawing a RoboCop, like take the what it looks like for his eyes, and then you're just going to put that on a guy named Cyclops.
Yeah. Ultimately, the pilot was not picked up because the general consensus was it was too campy for the subject matter. Considering the episode superficially dealt with social issues such as isolation, intolerance, and racism. That sounds like things they should be making the cartoons about right now.
Well, it's interesting because when you go back and watch the X-Men animated series from 1992 and on, it dealt with a lot of that stuff. Now, obviously, it's under sort of the umbrella of mutants. It still dealt with a lot of, and this is something I think that what translated really well for a lot of people when it came to X-Men, not just the animated series, but also the comic books and into the movies, is that it was something that people could relate to in regards to sort of the overall plot line of what was going on. Now, obviously, a guy with magnetic powers going to the top of the Statue of Liberty, not something a lot of people can relate to. But when you want to talk about being isolated, do you want to talk about basically kind of being shunned for who you are? That's really the underlying theme of X-Men. So Pride of the X-Men did not get picked up, like we said, but it ended up becoming the basis for that Konami X-Men arcade game, the one that everybody knows and loves, where you had the four spots. There was essentially, I remember, three main arcade games that had the four spots to play, and it was X-Men, Ninja Turtles, and The Simpsons. Those were the three. I mean, there was more than that, but those are the three that I remember.
Sidebar, when you used to play the video game and you looked at Konami, did that ever trigger Hans Gruber falling off a building for you?
Like the Nakatomi Plaza?
Exactly. I would always see Nakatomi. For some reason, whenever I would see those games and you see Konami at the top, I'd be like, Nakatomi. I'd always be like, they're the same guys that made the building. That brings us back down to 1991 when Margaret, why do you always give me the names? Margaret Lausch became the head of the Fox Children's Network. She was a major champion for Pride of the X-Men. So she quickly ordered 13 episodes of the X-Men.
And the show was originally supposed to debut Labor Day weekend, but delays ended up pushing it back. And right now we're going to get into those delays.
So when the animation team, ACOM, turned in the first episode, this is great. When they turned it in, there were hundreds of animation errors, hundreds, and ACOM refused to fix it. Because of time constraints, the episode was aired with all of the mistakes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of the sneak preview, though. So that was the two-part episode, Night of the Sentinels. Again, if you've seen the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where essentially it's Jubilee becomes a member of the X-Men is kind of what happens over the course of those first two episodes. And it was a sneak preview Halloween of 1992, but the real series then started shortly after.
And when Fox re-aired the pilot in early 1993, the errors had been corrected. The series ended up getting top ratings during its first season and was renewed for a second season of 13 episodes. I want to know what the errors were. Like, did they have like whole pages that weren't colored in? Did you get to that?
Oh, it's
like, what type of errors? Like sound just cuts out? Like, what the
well,
fuck?
No, well, and probably, I mean, like voices not matching what's being said, stuff like that.
Okay.
Or like buildings being missing that aren't there, and like continuity errors, you know, where maybe it's a different character or something's a different color. And from what I read, ACOM, the animation company, was like, nah, we're not going to fix it. Like, you guys have
I can imagine, like, two characters just standing opposite each other, and they're like, here, take this weapon out of my hand. Okay, I shall now use it. And then they don't do shit. They're just standing there opposite each other, just like, and then all of a sudden, anything.
It blinks, yeah, and then all of a sudden, the guy's got the weapon there.
Yeah, like a five-year-old making their first animated cartoon. So, go ahead.
The producers, they had to deal with a variety of issues through the series run, including quality control issues because of budget cuts. Oh, wait till we get to what happens later on in the series. Requests to change the tone of the show to something more kid-friendly. Like we've talked about, when it came to X-Men, they were dealing with some pretty heavy issues, you know, under the umbrella of mutants. But they were kind of kept being pushed to make this more of a kid-friendly show. And my brain would always go to, so they want it like the old Super Friends? Like the way that, like back in the day where you had Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and it was just a super cheesy, super campy show that it does not translate well at all. And of course, that's what was the problem with that original pilot, Pride of the X-Men, was because they said it was too campy for the subject matter. So they, I guess they were trying to constantly sort of tone this thing down a little bit. But another thing that they kind of threw a cog in there during production while it was on its run, they had to integrate toys that were being made for the show. So they would get an idea, so they, and they're like, hey, so we're gonna make this toy. And they're like, so now we got to figure out how we're going to get that into the series.
Okay, so it didn't work the other way around. I always thought it worked the other way around.
I think it probably works both. But I do remember, I mean, I was a big He-Man fan and G.I. Joe fan when I was a kid. Those cartoons they were only there to sell the toys. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about having some animation errors and continuity errors and the fact they use the same image of He-Man running every single time? Yeah. It looked the same. It was literally the same thing. The Simpsons called that out later on. Remember when they were like, it was the episode where Bart and Lisa go to the animator studio for Itchy and Scratchy. And they say, what they do is they will reuse a scene to save money. And as they're walking down the hallway, the same scene, they walk by it like four times.
I remember that. God, it's such a good show at the beginning. We haven't done The Simpsons properly yet, a deep dive, have we?
We did a deep dive. We did the Homer Palooza episode. And we've discussed it on Rockstar 101.
We need to do a proper one. But anyway, let's get back. I'm getting off track. My fault. There were major continuity errors. Let's get back to this.
Hold on.
Starting in season 3.
You don't need to say about staying on track, because if you do, I'm going to hit the 60-second timer. Something that people don't know about yet.
I know.
And if we start to get off track, I'm going to hit that thing, and we have 60 seconds to say whatever it is. If we're done beforehand, cool. But if not, that timer's up. You got to shut up. So just you're good, baby. You're good.
Don't overthink it. So, okay, here we go. The major continuity errors starting in season 3, because there were multiple studios animating the show. Episodes were generally aired when they were ready, which led them to being out of order, causing confusion. They actually aired the fucking episodes out of order.
Like years out of order.
Oh, that's
there was one
dumb.
Episode that didn't air until 1996. It was originally supposed to air in 1994. I mean, it was a
mess. So you're telling
me,
like, you're telling me that Wolverine would be hanging off the edge of a cliff, come back next week to see what happens, and then it'd just be like, we're going over the nothing. Like, no reference.
When it first came to Disney Plus had the option that you could watch it in the order that it was technically supposed to be. Because it was so far off, and it just led to confusion and problems. And I really don't remember what happens after the first two seasons, I think. I think that was kind of prime right in my demo, you know, 12, 13-year-old Brandon. After that, I really don't remember. I've started it on Disney Plus, but I kind of get distracted with other things. So before the new series comes out next year, I'm definitely going to watch it. And there's also technically two endings to X-Men the Animated Series. There was an episode called Beyond Good and Evil that was intended to be the finale, with the team disbanding after the final battle. More episodes were ordered, though, and Saban Entertainment, which everybody remembers those old logos, they were behind so much of the cartoons from our childhood. They were funding it because Marvel at that time was filing for bankruptcy. Stop and stew on that one, and how big Marvel is now because of the movies and Disney's taking it over. In that time, they were filing for bankruptcy.
Dude, what were they in charge of making back then?
Who?
Marvel, what were they in charge of making back then? Because obviously they weren't in the movies yet. Like, were they in charge
Well, I mean, obviously it was the comic books, and then they probably had all of their cartoons and stuff like that.
And they just, damn. Man, that sounds like when Apple... Okay, start the timer. That sounds like when Apple finally... You know, remember when they fired Steve Jobs, right? Apple fired Steve Jobs, and they were like, well... So it wasn't until they got Jon Favreau and a couple of people back in and finally were like, yo, let's let the creatives do their fucking job. And then that brought back a resurgence of the entire Marvel thing. The same thing happened with fucking Steve Jobs, where they said... Steve Jobs was not a great businessman, but he was a creative. And then they fired him and got him out of his own company. And the company started to tank for 10 years until finally they brought him back and he brought Apple back. I bet it's the same fucking thing that happened. I bet.
Is that it? Good. You got it in 60.
Yeah,
good job.
That's it. So going back to this, if you're a Star Trek fan, which I am a deep, deep Star Trek Next Generation fan, I really wish I could just... I really wish I could just watch them all day, every day. If you're a Star Trek fan, some of the series sounds familiar. It's because the series used sound effects from Star Trek. That blew my mind. So you're saying that Star Trek made the sounds and they just ripped them. They just took them.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they probably paid for them. But I think the big thing here is that it's obviously way cheaper to use sound effects that have already been created than, you know, making your own. So,
licensing.
David Hemplin, he voiced Magneto in the animated series. He almost played Magneto in the movie. He was offered the role, but he had to turn it down because he had a scheduling conflict because he was filming Earth Final Conflict. So imagine him in that role as Magneto in the original movie.
Do you think he thinks that was a mistake?
Choosing Earth Final Conflict over the original X-Men movie? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was pretty a big... I was going to say a mistake, but you never know what's going to hit and what's not, you know?
Remind me at the end of this to tell you about how Russell Crowe dealt with that decision 25 years ago at the end of this episode. After the success of the 2000 X-Men live-action movie, the animated series made a return to TV first... It was just story arcs that related directly to the movie, but then the whole series was eventually broadcast.
And last but not least, we all know how iconic the intro is.
Can we run a 60-second timer on this? Should we stop the timer on this?
Nah, because it's never going to be 60 full seconds. It's like 15. It's amazing. That is one that's constantly stuck in my brain. But there was a completely different alternative intro for the Japanese version, which blew my mind. I didn't know this until a few years ago, which if you want to find it, you can, you know, on YouTube or something, just Google the Japanese X-Men animated series intro, and it's there. I mean, it's pretty dope. Like, it's not inferior in any way. It's just not what we remember. It's not as iconic because... It's not the one that we grew up on.
But don't you think, like, if it's not what you remember from your childhood, you automatically think it's inferior?
I think a lot of people do that. But it's, I mean, it's a really good intro. Like, it's really, really good. So it's not like you're looking at something that you can be like, oh, like it's a budget cut or something like that. Like, it's definitely worth checking out.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Moving on, we're going to get some polls here, it's really just the one poll is the one that I'm going to be talking about here. But if you want to, make sure you're subscribed over to my YouTube channel at The Real Brandalorian. I've been putting up a lot of polls over there. And this is one that just kind of happened to take off. As I'm looking at it right now, it has over 2,500 votes, actually. And the question was, which rock star would you bring back if you could? Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, or Dimebag Darrell? And we're going to have a bunch of comments that came in, but as we're recording this, the leader is Kurt Cobain at 54%. 54% of people said they would bring back Kurt Cobain. 28% of people said that they would bring back Jimi Hendrix. And 18% of people would bring back Dimebag Darrell.
Why do you think that is?
Nirvana's got a weird resurgence right now. You and I have talked about the one video that I did on kind of their VMA performance. It's got well over a million views now. And I think there's something with Nirvana right now that is that and I can't think of what it would be other than maybe Dave Grohl being more in the news with Taylor Hawkins passing away and them sort of doing that concert.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think it's simple. I'm unfortunately, I think it's really simple. Kurt Cobain wrote songs, and there were songs that were infectious and simple and jingles, and Kurt Cobain, people relate more to songs than to guitar players, and singers more than guitar players. Now, Hendrix is literally the greatest guitar player in history, arguably, or top five. Dimebag Darrell is amazing and up there, but if you're not a metalhead, you don't really care about Dimebag Darrell. Ooh. I thought it was funny when, like, go ahead, what?
It's going to be a poll for this week. I get a list of like four or five guitar players, and you know who's the best. Like you got Dimebag, yeah. You got Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton.
Yep. You got to put in Jeff Beck.
Jeff Beck. Put like Jimmy Page in there. Slash.
The last spot, yeah. Then you get into, yeah, it's tough. Usually it's like you get into the real hardcore people, like hardcore guitar players. They'll be like, it's between Hendrix, Eric Clapton, and the one that I just mentioned that I'm blanking on because
Jeff
I got
Beck?
Five
you
names
said
in
Jeff
my
Beck,
head.
Right?
Jeff Beck. Yeah, Jeff Beck. And Jeff Beck is usually more forgotten by people who just listen to pop music because Jeff Beck hasn't had like a pop hit for forever, like ever. Mm-hmm. But he is like, if you really are a guitar player, most people will say, dude, Jeff Beck owns everyone. He's just not as controversial and popular. He just plays his guitar.
And we've missed I just Googled it too, just to make sure we didn't really forget anybody. We missed a ton, dude. We just skipped right over Eddie Van Halen.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's very polarized. We'll do Cage Match. Cage Match. Fucking Cage Match it down. Let have it go over for like a couple of months and each week it goes down.
I'm cool with that. So
yeah, that's an idea.
That's something we'll have to figure out because that's basically what you're doing is I've done this throughout the years with a bunch of different things. Some of it was we would do it with movie monsters during Halloween time and you do it like during March Madness where you just have a big bracket. And then you just kind of go with who's the best. And maybe this is one way that we figure out who is the greatest guitar player. But I think for this week, I'm just going to pick four or five because what we'll notice when we get to start, when we start getting to some of these responses, so people can vote in the poll, they can also comment on the poll. And there are some people who are like, oh, I would bring back this person, and this person. I'm like, that wasn't a fucking option. Like you had three options and you fucked it up.
So what are we doing now? Are we going through some of these comments?
Yeah, so here's one we have from Kanku, I'm assuming is how you pronounce that. It says, Dime was a kind soul. He was a friend to all and an inspiration to many. I'd bring him back, but it would be cruel without his brother being around.
That's a very sympathetic way to look at it. To think of that is very
sweet.
There
was a few people that commented that if you were to be able to bring back Dimebag, you'd have to bring back Vinnie Paul. Like, it would just be... Yeah. Messed up not to do that.
That's very sweet.
Matthew Thompson says, Jimmy killed himself with drugs. Kurt killed himself with drugs and a gun. Dime was murdered in cold blood whilst doing what he loves. I like how this dude used the word whilst, by the way. Like, who fucking writes that? Dime didn't deserve what happened. All three would fucking hate today's world anyway.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. Could you imagine if you actually brought them back and they were like, why? Why'd you bother? No one cares about music anymore.
See, with as much as we've talked about Nirvana, going through a whole bunch of different things, I really start to wonder what Kurt Cobain would be like today. Like, what do you think? What kind of person would he be? Because even back then,
The deciding factor about whether or not Kurt Cobain would be happy if he came back now would be completely dictated by whether or not he was still with Courtney. If he was still with Courtney, you better believe he's a miserable fuck but if he's not with Courtney, he'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I go out with friends. Well, I do things.
But hold on, because they also have the kid, Francis Bean. And being a dad changes you. So I also kind of think about that, is how would that have changed who he was, essentially being a father?
But didn't he shoot himself when he still had the baby?
Well, yeah, you know, the baby was around, but Frances Bean, I don't even think she was a year old yet or 2 years old yet. I mean, she was still a baby. Yeah. All right, so this next person on YouTube, first name, last name, by the way, is their username, says, okay, so hear me out. Dimebag did absolutely nothing to change or innovate the metal scene. His solos were good, not great, and he would probably be canceled in 2021. While Cobain is an amazing songwriter, his quality of life would be poor. If we bring someone back, it should be for their legacy, not our personal entertainment. Hendrix had a lot more to share with the world, so he should be brought back.
I mean, do you want to unpack that? You want to unpack the whole thing?
I'm more interested about somebody saying that Dimebag was good, not great.
Yeah, that's my point. There's so much to unpack. Dimebag did absolutely nothing to change or innovate the metal scene. Are you fucking kidding? He literally did everything to change and innovate the metal scene. People, every fucking metal player played differently after Dimebag. He's the equivalent of the four monkeys and then the dude standing up.
Yeah.
That's Dimebag. Like, to say he did nothing
to innovate
the metal scene. Why didn't you run the timer?
Because that's still a part of what we're talking about.
I know, but come on. Okay, Cobain's an amazing songwriter. His quality of life would be poor. You don't know that for sure. And Hendrix did a lot more to share with the world, so we should bring him back. That's straight up.
He had a whole lot more.
He had a lot more to share. That's not fair at all. Like, Kurt Cobain probably had a lot more to share as well.
Again,
Kurt Cobain died on a high. How do you know that this what the record that was following In Utero wasn't going to be another masterpiece?
Well, easy. These are people's opinions on YouTube.
Yeah, these are my opinions. Why did you show them to me? You know what I'm fucking like.
All right, Malachi Coriel says, Cobain could do so much more. The other two already did their career. Fucking Hendrix is in the 27 club, dude. He was young. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, so is Cobain.
But he's saying he's saying Jimi Hendrix already had his career. No, he didn't.
He still had a whole lot left to go.
Travis Lone Bear says Dimebag is a monster on a six string, and Jimmy is the goat, but would pick Randy Rhoads.
Who was not in the equation.
Judgy the Pirate says, people really think the edgy emo guy is better than Hendrix and Dimebag? I hate my generation. So obviously he's referencing Kurt Cobain, but now this next one is a direct response to that. Barry Bliss says, emo, in quotes, yeah, because grunge is so similar to emo. I hate my generation too, because all you do is act like grunge and all types of alt just equals emo. Which is absolutely not the case. And so what if he was? He was a spectacular vocalist, unique, kind, and funny person. He just had a messed up life, but he didn't let that get in the way of his music.
I love how passionate people are becoming about this. And thank you for Barry Bliss, if you're watching, which I'm sure you are, thank you very much for that concise and thought out answer.
Even with the emoji too of the eye roll.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with 100% of what anyone said, but that's why we discuss it. Yeah. The difference is we get a microphone and you guys have your keyboard. That's why I wanted to read them out so that you have a voice.
And if you would like here on YouTube, obviously if you're over on Spotify, Apple, or Google, come on over to the YouTube channel and comment below if you want to respond to any of these people. And you can also
give and subscribe.
Also give your answers to five fast questions, which we're going to barrel into now. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You good to go?
I'm not ready, but I'm never ready. You know me. That's what makes half of this.
Okay. So
say.
Are you shim ready?
Yeah, I'm always shim ready. Right. I'm rolling out of bed all day, every day. Let's do it.
All right. It is number five fast questions. Shim, you got the questions. I got the answers. Fire away, sir.
Number one, which is the better phone, Android or Apple?
Android.
What is number two? What is something most people just don't want to hear?
Human beings are not created equal.
Number three, what thoughts do you have at 3 a.m.?
Did I lock up downstairs? Every door? Every window? Is it locked up?
Number four, what song is stuck in your head right now?
Your cover of Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff.
Number five, what is the biggest red flag about you, good sir?
Look at this face. This is not the face of someone who's happy all the time. That's a red flag. And that is five fast questions.
Getting balls deep on a couple of these questions.
All right, let's get through some of these here real quick. So, we start with number five usually because it's the last one. I'm sure that there's a ton of red flags about me But it's something that I've had to deal with pretty much my entire adult life, especially since I've had facial hair, especially a beard, is I look pissed off all the time. And there's a reason.
Well, you said you've got permanent... Your exact words were you've got permanent resting bitch face, correct?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so then number one... Okay, now we get into it. What is the better phone, Android or Apple?
I've had both. And I've had problems with every Apple. Every iPhone I've had...
Right. Okay.
Like the biggest thing that I have an issue with when it comes to Apple, and this is with every single iPhone I have had, was when that contract time would be up, like the 2-year mark.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they start doing those updates,
which
they fucking admitted to. They fucking admitted that they crank it up so the battery dies super fast. No, because this is the topic we're on. The timer's for tangents. This isn't a tangent.
Okay. Like you're on a fucking tangent. Okay.
No, I'm talking about how Apple is fucking inferior because, A, when they're like, oh, check out all these new features. And it's like, sweet, Samsung had that 3 years ago.
Okay, let me ask you a question related to this. Yeah. How important do you consider it to be that more people are on an iPhone than an Android and that they don't communicate perfectly on a bunch of stuff? Like if you try to text someone, you try to do FaceTime audio, you try to do a FaceTime call, you can't do it if the person's got Samsung. And then certain apps like Google Drive works like seamlessly with that sort of stuff. And then SoundCloud or not SoundCloud, the other ones, you don't give a shit.
Zero. That's how much that matters to me. I want a phone that fucking works. I've had so many other phones that are just amazing. They work through and through. It's at the 2-year mark, the battery still lasts. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first moved to El Paso, this would have been 2015. I had an iPhone. I used to have to keep the light on the screen. I used to dim that thing all the fucking way down because the battery would die
battery
in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Apple.
All right, let's move. What is something most people just don't want to hear?
Human beings are not created equal. We're not. Yeah. Everybody's fucking different. And I think that unfortunately we've kind of gotten into this mindset of where, well, you know, because we were kind of raised on the everybody's created equal. All men are created equal, like was the big phrase and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I think that we bank on that too much, or we believe that too much, when in reality it's everybody's different. And that's what we need to be embracing. We don't need to consider everybody doesn't need to be equal. Now, do we need the same rights? Should we be treated nicely? Fuck yeah. But is everybody equal?
Yeah. I think the one that the caveat I would add to that is you're not special. That's what I think people need to hear. You're not special.
Yeah.
People mistake unique with special. They're like, I'm unique. Yeah, you are. That goes hand in hand with not everyone is created equal. You're unique. You're built differently genetically and everything from the ground up. But you're not fucking special. This
and
idea of
being unique could mean you're just a dickhead too. I mean, because that's also a possibility as well. There's people out there who are just dickheads.
Yeah. And most dickheads think they're special.
Well,
they think
but again, I think where a lot of this comes from is that back in the day, obviously, when you want to talk about racism and sexism and things like that, is that we realized, oh, shit, like this scale is not even close to being even. But we're getting to the point now where I think we need to take a step back and realize, no, not everybody is equal. And that's a good thing. That should be celebrated. We should celebrate our differences. But that doesn't
Good
mean
luck.
We get to be assholes to each other. Like, that's kind of, I think, the underlying thing there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What thoughts do you have at 3 a.m.?
Fuck.
Did Other I than lock I'm just, all the fucking I'm doors? I'm a piece of shit and nothing's working and I don't know how I even made it this far and I'm
no, that's No, those
down.
Are my thoughts at midnight when I'm trying to fall asleep. When I wake up, I'm wondering if, especially after, like, my wife and I were watching the Jeffrey Dahmer. We watched the first episode of the Netflix series. And so, of course, I triple checked every fucking window and door, although he wasn't a guy that would, come creep into your house. But still, it's like, fuck that noise, man. So, yeah, it's at that moment because the second that thought pops into my head, I got to go check. I'll try.
Right.
And
then
try
you're up.
I will try and try and try to not let it get to me. And I'm like, dude, you double and triple check things more than anybody on the fucking planet. You have songs for when you fucking check the fucking deadlock. This is locked now. Lock.
Wow, that's some OCD. I didn't know you had songs.
Yeah. Like it's bad, dude. Like it's deadbolt locked. Locked. Like, it always reminds me too of, I think it's It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, how Charlie learned from his mom, you touch, I think it's you touch everything in threes. Like, one, two, right. three, closed. One, two, three. That I here's how bad it was at one point. When I would leave the house, when I was working on the morning show, I was always concerned I left the garage door open because I don't want to leave the garage door open because my wife and kid are home. And, you know, it's not like I live in a shitty neighborhood. Nobody's going to fucking come in, but that's always a concern. Yeah. So what I would do is, as I'm looking at the garage door, I would pinch my leg hard, like hard. So then when I got three blocks down and I'm like, did I close the garage door? I would feel that pain in my leg and that would be my reminder. Yes, you did.
Oh my God. That's a massive insight, dude.
This fucking deep dive in here, buddy.
That is a deep dive. That's...
Wow. I'm always trying to think of ways to simplify my life, and unfortunately, inflicting pain so I would remember something was something that stuck in my.
That's just the best option you've got right now.
And I don't even know.
Don't write yourself a note. You could write yourself a note and put it in your pocket and be like, "Yes, you did it," or just have a checklist, tick it, put it in your pocket. But no, let's cause bodily harm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I caused bruises at some point. But then the problem is you can't do that every day because then it's just the same part of your leg is always going to fucking hurt.
That's the problem. That's the problem?
Yeah. For me.
Not the psychological warfare going on a daily basis that leads you to that place in the first
place. That's a battle that's always
going to be. That's not the problem.
That battle will always rage until the day I die. And I've come to grips with it. You need to as well.
I don't fucking hurt my body, man.
Well, it's not like I was drawing blood. It's just enough. So that I would feel like in three blocks, that was still there. So I would know, yes, I closed the garage door.
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I love you. I love you.
All right, last one. We got our last one.
He's crying. Right. Well, the song is stuck in your head right now. That's right.
It's your acoustic version of Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff. I told Shim, dude, you got to cover Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff. He did a phenomenal job.
This was Brandon's idea, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. But the true talent comes from Shim. And the way that he did it and the way that it's done, I have an idea for a video that I want to do with it. So if you guys can film something, and whether that's on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram, and use the song as your background, like let's say you're having like a frustrating kind of a morning, or it's just been one of those days where you don't want to wake up, everybody sucks.
If you go to @ShimMoore on TikTok, you'll find it. Go ahead and use the audio. If you guys want to make your own little version of anything that you deal with during the day that just drives you fucking nuts, where you're like, keep it together. Don't lose your shit over this. You go ahead and make a video using that audio and share it with your friends. That's what it's for. It's for you guys.
And do a lip sync to it too. Maybe if that's kind of what you guys want to do on that one. Yeah. So. As you can tell, we have the wrap-up music now. I'm incorporating a lot of different things here. It was blowing Shim's mind earlier.
Brandon's been putting the hard yards in, as you can tell.
Yeah, because either that or I'm inflicting pain on my leg because I didn't close the garage door.
I think, honestly, that's the positive. To be like, I do the same thing where, like, if I can't find someone to complain about my shit to, which is most of the time now because I'm a little bit older, you got to write a song. So you got to put it into something positive. You got to put it into something. So putting it into work, nothing wrong with that.
Well,
that's better than inflicting pain.
This is our work, even if we don't get paid for it. Hopefully one day we will be.
We will.
But on that note, just a reminder, check us out on the socials @TheRealBrandalorian for me on YouTube and over on Instagram. GoatTheBrandalorian over on TikTok. Like Shim said, it's Shim Moore on TikTok. It's Shimon Moore over on YouTube. And then your Instagram is just Shim. But look for that little blue check mark right there.
Look for those blue check marks for sure.
And then, of course, we're dropping all these episodes. We get these, the remix is done here on Wednesdays. And then coming up next week, we're going to wrap up Ozfest. I think we might wrap it up. It might take two more episodes. I'm not quite sure. And then after that, we're going to be doing a dive into Korn as well. So on that note, his name is Shim. He is the rock star.
His name is Brandon. He is the DJ. Class is dismissed.
There's still a few seconds left. Hold on. It's about to wrap up. Are you ready for this? Start dancing to it. Here it is. Here it is.
Yeah,
big finish. Big finish. Did I get it?